Blog Talk Radio.
So I say unto
the truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me, so I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus takes the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works if
you want to be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you want to be happy?
Yeah.
I just want to be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hand. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way.
You've been there too long.
Chance to have some, hear some awesome music tonight, and that's what it's all about. You want to be happy, and that's what this show is all about. Talking Sports Plus. I am the host, Dr. Loretta D. Smith. And we look forward to bringing you some outstanding conversation about the voice of the historical black colleges and high schools and middle schools in the southeastern part of the United States. Met that athletics. We also want to talk about some of the hottest topics that's going on throughout the country during the week. Now, as we look at our show, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. Again, we're excited. It's Wednesday, hump day. Wonderful Wednesday, however you want to call it. So we're just ready to have an awesome show tonight. What I want to make sure I do before I introduce my co-host, the one that's on the line, and I know one of them is joining us a little later, but let me do this. Our title for our show is For the Love of Sports. And today is a truly special day for me as well as the co-host, my co-host. It is the day that my father and their grandfather was born on this day, January the 30th. He's now 85 years old, and that's Mr. John Wesley Smith. We're going to say happy birthday to your dad and granddad. We shout it out for you, and all the prayers go out that you continue to see many more. Also, there are several other people that we want to give a little shout-out to, and we can say basically those individuals. You have my oldest brother. He was born on yesterday, January the 29th. His born day was yesterday, and we want to say happy birthday to you, Lamar Smith. There are several other people that text me and say they want to have their name shouted out, and that's Tracy Kendrick. Her birthday is today. Happy birthday, Tracy, down in Villas Garrett. Shannon People, her birthday was yesterday. And there are many others that are having birthday today. We say happy birthday to you, happy born day, and do pray that you have an awesome day today, or did have an awesome day and an awesome night, and we look forward to seeing you around for many more. All right. As I stated, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. If you want to email the show, you can go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Tweet the show at talkingsportsplus with the number one, at Lorenzo D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell, the number one, at Tremaine Edwards, the number seven, and last but not least, at Coach_L_Smith. That's Coach Smith. All right. Let me take this opportunity now to introduce the co-host that's on the line. This young lady, and she is our lady of the millennia and the lady of the show. She joined us out of north of Montgomery in Otago County, better known as Coach Lauren D. Smith. How you doing, Coach? Our millennium. How you doing, Coach?
I'm great. I'm glad to be on tonight. I'm ready to go ahead and get started. I think we have a lot of stuff to talk about since last week. I think a lot of things happened, so let's go ahead and get it cracking.
All right, let's get it cranked up, like you said, make it do what it do. We want to start off with, always we're going to talk about our historical black colleges and universities storyline, and we're going to talk about some college basketball. I'm going to some recap, but also I want Coach Smith to kind of share her thoughts about particular games or particular conferences and some of the surprises so far in the particular historical black colleges and university conference. I'm going to start off talking, kind of recapping the SWAC. There was five games that went on. You had Texas Southern beating Mississippi Valley. Texas Southern is 4-3 in the conference. Southern lost to Alabama State University, 6-1 in the conference. Prairie View State University is 7-0, but they beat Arkansas Pine Bluff 79-63. And Alcorn lost to Alabama A&M 71-62. A&M is 3-4. And Grambling and Jackson State did not play. That's the roundup of the SWAC schools on the men's side. We're going to kind of talk about there, because we're going to say we're going to look at the rankings, we're going to look at the standing, but Coach Smith, out of this SWAC standing so far, what is surprising to you in this standing?
To me, it's really how Texas Southern is not really taking over. We've known Texas Southern for the past at least 3 years. Texas Southern probably been really the best team. And for them to be, what, 4-3, Texas Southern should really blow through the swag. That's what we've seen as of prior years. So for them to kind of be struggling is a surprise. Another surprise to me is that A&M is actually winning games, or they have won a game, said it. I don't see A&M being there well for at least the next 2 or 3 years because of the sanctions that came down against them. I do not see them being there well because A&M was kind of known for kind of getting some JUCO kids, and those juniors coming in, they kind of, you know, they play like juniors. So that's a surprise to me. Something that's not a surprise is how well Alabama State has been playing. They look good. I actually went to the game Saturday. They look good. The men look outstanding. Reginald G is probably one of the most deadly shooters I've seen in a minute at Alabama State. He's probably, you know, up there with Andrew Hill. Andrew Hill has come down the floor and just busted from anywhere. So Reginald G is pretty outstanding in my opinion for Alabama State. Alabama State women, they look like, you know, they should win the SWAC again. I kind of don't see a team coming in just knocking them off that bad. They look pretty good, and we're talking about February. They have, what, 3 or 4 more weeks to go before we're in conference championship play. So those are the things that I'm kind of surprised by and I'm kind of proud of when we talk about SWAC play.
And that's awesome. For individuals who may have a question when we say SWAC, we're talking about the Southwest Athletic Conference. In football, they're FCS. In basketball, they're Division I. And a surprise for me, Coach Smith, is that I am surprised the way Alabama State University is really playing. The reason why is that I saw the team being made up, but I was so used to seeing the roster change so much that I really didn't know who would be on the team. I knew the point guard who was all freshman last year was coming back, as well as Reginald G. And I saw some real positive thing out of them, but I was concerned about how the under the basket play would be. And I see some real positive thing. I think the coaches and that's Coach Lewis Jackson over at Alabama State University have kind of found a way to work those big boys in there. And what I mean is the two bigger the kids, the taller the kids, they're most of the time they're not on the floor at the same time. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to alternate them, but also keep those Keith Wilp type of players, them slim, skinny players down there, but they leap off the floor like jackrabbits, and they are awesome. Now, the week before, we saw Alabama A&M against Alabama State, and as Coach Smith was saying, the sanction is going to come into play because it could not do off-campus recruiting, and they had to kind of rely on players come in. Plus, another thing, they changed. They got a new coach in there. So sometimes coaches have to make their adjustment and kind of fit in. Another surprise, and it's not a surprise, and that's Texas Southern. And on the other side, you got Prairie View, who's undefeated. But one thing we have to keep in mind, as Coach Smith was sharing, they normally be at the top of the conference, but their coach left. Coach Mike left. He went to a Division I school, a larger school, and they got a new coach. Matter of fact, they have a coach that left Alabama A&M after 1 year, is now the coach at Texas Southern. So that's one of the things that we see, and that's probably bring about a lot of surprise, because when you talk about Texas Southern and SWAC basketball, they always winning it. Then they go into the March Madness and play teams real tough. It's all about for the love of sports, and that's what this topic, what we're going to talk about, for the love of sports, and we're talking about basketball. All right, Coach Mill, we're going to look at the MEAC and look at some of those teams on both sides. But before I do that, I want to look at the SWAC women, the conference, and we'll look at these rankings and these standings, and you can kind of respond to that. Southern is 6-2, Grambling is 5-2, Prairie View is 5-2, Alabama State University is 5-2, Alabama A&M is 4-3, Texas Southern is 4-3, and the rest of the team, Valley, Alcorn, Pine Bluff, and Jackson. Out of each one of them, they only won two games. But we'll kind of talk about those top four teams. Starting, as Coach Smith was saying, about Alabama State girls. They've been playing real well, and I watched them play. They seem to kind of get it together. They got some active, what we call quick twitch players. And those players is acting on the board. They're using their quickness and they're aggressive. And they are five and two. The ranking have them down in fifth place, but I think they're up there between Grambling and Prairie View, because Southern, you know, Southern was leading the conference last week, was 6-1, but if I'm not mistaken, they lost to Alabama State. So I'm looking at a situation, or we're looking at a situation, that this SWAC women is going to be a good battle toward the end of the year, and so we're going to look for an awesome time. Before I move any further, I have our other co-host in here, and this is the young man hailed from North Alabama, Meridianville, Huntsville. He's a mainstay up there. He's known to many, loved by more, as the young man that has this phrase, "Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun." And he's our king on this talk show, none other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Coach?
How y'all doing tonight? Glad to be here. Sorry I'm late. Dr. Smith had to get through victory tonight, baby. Pulling it out, man. Glad to pull it
okay,
out,
well,
baby.
We
have to see another day tomorrow.
Hey, I tell you what, and our listeners like to know about it. So I know we talk about SWAC basketball. We'll roll back. Since you got that hot on you, you want to talk, tell us what went on. Tell us about the victory tonight for both your team. And Coach Coach Edward will share where he worked and the team he's coaching. We'll go move a little bit to our middle school and high school area. So, Coach Edward, share it with us.
Gotcha, Dr. Smith. I work for Huntsville City Schools, coach at Chapman Middle School. We're playing in our middle school tournament, end of the season tournament. My girls are a one seed. They played an eight seed, Weisberg. We won the game today 48-15, so girls played pretty good. My boys are a two seed. We lost the coin toss, had a tie for first place, lost the coin toss. And we played Williams, which are a seven seed. And we squeaked by, Dr. Smith. We look like crap, man. We ended up winning about 18, but it pushed out at the end. I mean, I don't know if it was just tournament time, but we struggled there, Dr. Smith. But we came through, and glad we wanted to get to see another day. We play tomorrow. The girls play at 7:30 tomorrow night versus Mount Gap, and the boys play at 4:30 tomorrow versus Hampton Cove. So that's gonna be a good one for us.
Awesome, awesome. Congratulations, Coach. And we know you're going to keep them grind, because, you know, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And you said sometime when you had a gun, you make sure you make it work. So sound like you're doing it up there, and you tell your boys and girls, as well as the community up there, Talking Sports Plus, say congratulations and just keep on grinding. That's the hashtag we have, and that's the hashtag they can have. So, again, congratulations. Coach Smith, you want to share anything in there?
No, I'm glad Trey got some victories going, man. I'm waiting to hear what you had for me tonight.
Hey,
trying to see how you did.
Yeah, pulling it through.
That's all right. That's awesome. And the call in number is 347-857-4192. If you want to share about your middle school, your high school, or your historical black college and university, which we're talking about at this time, we're going to talk about the high school as well as the middle school, you can call in. You can go to the web link, www.blogtalkradio.com/the Smith Way Production, and then you can just listen to the show. Or if you want to email us at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com and share some thoughts with us, or go to our Twitter account, which is you got Tremaine Edward, which is number 7, Coach_L_Smith, Talking Sports Plus with the number 1, and at Lorenza D. Smith. So those are the ways to communicate. We look forward to talking with you. We're here for an hour, and we want to make it good. We're going to make it do what it do. All right, Coach, we was talking about the SWAC. We said some of the surprises as we talked about the SWAC. Then we're going to mention about the MEAC, the CIAA, and the SIAC. We talked about the men's team and the record being the standard being Prairie View 7-0, Alabama State 6-1. Then we have make sure I get it right here. You have Texas Southern 4-3, and you also have Pine Bluff 4-3. Then the rest of them are 3-4. Alabama A&M 2-6, 1-6, and then but you got Grambling who didn't play in Jackson State, and I think they stand down there in that 5th and 6th slot. What any surprises so far in regards to those men's on the SWAC level? SWAC, the men division of the SWAC. Did we lose you, Trey? I don't know. We may have lost Trey. Might be on mute, Trey. All right, we're gonna kind of move. We're gonna kind of move forward with this, and we're waiting. He can share his thoughts about what surprises he's seen on the SWAC. We talked about the men and the women on the MEAC. We'll give some follow up in regards to that. The men's, you have Norfolk State 7-0 leaving the conference, North Carolina A&T 6-0, North Carolina Central 5-2, FAMU 5-2. Those are top 14 with Howard bringing in the 5th slot. That's the men part of men's side of the MEAC. Also, we want to talk about the women's side. The North Carolina A&T leads the conference 6-0. Mallard Eastern Shore is 7-1 for the MEAC, Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Norfolk State is 6-1. Bethune-Cookman is 4-3. Those are top 14 in regards to those rankings, those standing with the MEAC. SIAC, two division. The East, you have Morehouse leading 9-3. And on the West, you got Miles College, 10-2. So those are two on the men's side that's leading CIAA on the North and the Southern. You got Virginia State, 9-0, and Livingston, 5-5. Those are the two leaders in those four conferences. And the SIAC is the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. CIAA is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Those are the men. And on the women's side, we have Benedict leading the SIAC on the women's side, 11-0. Tuskegee leading the West at 9-2. On the CIAA North, you got Virginia Union 8-1. Johnson C. Smith on the Southern side 7-3. Those are the standings in just the top level of it. We're gonna kind of move forward. We're gonna look at what we're going to see in the form of Coach's Corner, our segment on Coach's Corner, and we're going to have some discussion on that. All right. Trey, you still with us? Lauren, you still there? Okay. We're going to talk about – you still there? Okay. We're going to we're just having connections, and I want the listener to understand our connection has been kind of bad. Might be because of the cold weather or whatever. We're having some tight connections here. All right, we're going to discuss the quarterback transfer ranking. And the ranking stands like this. Number one quarterback in the transfer standings, you would say, or rankings, Jalen Hurts, the number one quarterback. Number two, Kelly Bryant. Number three, Jacob Eason. Everybody forgot about Jacob. Number four, Justin Fields. And number five, Brandon Wimbush. We want to talk about those five. Tell me your thoughts on it, Coach. Tell me what you think about those five and that ranking and Jalen Hurts being at the top.
Well,
I'm here, Dr. Go ahead, Lauren. I'm here. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. A lot of people talking about the Jalen Hurts thing. This is why I don't really too much care about Jalen Hurts, because he actually graduated from the school. So he got a degree from the University of Alabama. He was a grad student, which means he can go anywhere. You don't have to stay at the school for your 5th year. So that hurt kind of didn't really care about. This is the transfer that I had. I was like, why? Was the Justin Fields one. Justin Fields' transfer was a why until Tate Martell said he was going to Miami. So I said, okay, well, maybe this Justin Fields will work out. But the thing about Justin Fields is, Justin Fields is, in my opinion, might be more of a runner than he is a passer. I thought Justin Fields would end up somewhere else other than Ohio State. So that was, that kind of blew me. Jacob Eason, I really did forget about him. I honestly thought he transferred in the beginning of the year. Did he transfer in the beginning of the year? Like,
yeah,
before football season really started? Okay, that's why I forgot about him.
Yeah, he had set out. He set out a year. So now he's able to play, you know, because he transfers as an undergraduate. Go ahead on, Coach.
Yeah. Brandon Wimbush, he transferred to UCF, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, that's one of them that I kind of didn't understand. But if you look at the injury to Milton, I don't think that injury, that ACL injury, was, in my opinion, that bad. So those two will probably be fighting for a job, let's say, the middle of September. So I didn't understand the UCF transfer there. I thought he could have went somewhere else, Auburn maybe, somewhere of that nature. I thought, you know, something other than UCF, because in my opinion, even when Milton comes back, the job is his. He's proven that he broke records at UCF. So I wouldn't just give his job away off of a ACL injury. Look at Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson came back from almost the same injury as Milton. Milton might have been a little bit more, I'm going to say nastier, but it was a pretty bad pair. So, those are the people that's my take on the quarterback transfer.
Awesome, awesome. Yep, Coach Trey.
I'm here, Dr. Smith.
Okay.
Big time transfers, man. A lot of people have to prove themselves. The biggest tickets on their heads is proving what you couldn't do at the school you was at before. Number one, Kelly Bryant. He has to prove that he can lead a team that is not as talented as Clemson to compete in the SEC championship. I'm going to give him that. Number two, Jalen Hurts. He got to lead an Oklahoma team that is known for an explosive offense. Now, we saw what Jalen Hurts did at Alabama, but now you're at Oklahoma. I'm gonna say that that's a difference. See, people don't realize that, Dr. Smith, that it's a difference between Alabama and Oklahoma. At Alabama, you're throwing the ball to five stars. Now, not to say that they don't have five stars at Oklahoma, but they're not the top tier five stars that were at Alabama. Now, they have some good receivers, Dr. Smith. Number two, you don't have a five-star running back behind you to tote the ball. That's number two. At Alabama, you had three or four five-stars sitting in the threshold. Wait. Number three, you don't have five-star linemen in front of you blocking. See, people are not looking at all the pitches. You know, we just looking, we're going to Oklahoma. He gonna get off. He gonna do what them other quarterbacks did. Now, not to take from Jalen Hurts' success at Alabama, but it was a lot of jokers around on Dr. Smith. I mean, let's just be real with that. He has a lot of pieces behind him, and I think when you put pressure, he's gonna be in a position he's never been in. The position he's gonna be in is he's gonna have to score every time, Dr. Smith. Point blank, it ain't nothing else. Oklahoma ain't going to have no defense that's going, okay, we're going to hold you down, flip it over. No, you're going to have to score. It's all you. They offense a bust. Now, Tate Martell, like Lauren just said, when Fields, you know, jump ship from Georgia, Tate Martell left. No, I'm going to fight him for that job. I mean, just like he had to fight for his job in Georgia, I'm going to fight him for that job at Ohio State. So, these kids are a different breed, Dr. Smith. Like we fuss at this all the time. These kids are different breed. They don't want to compete. They want to give it to them. All of them. There's a lot of kids like that in college football. They do not want to compete. Now, when you put them in a process and they have to wait, I'm transferring. I'm doing this. So that's why we respect Jalen Hurts. Even though, you know, we can see what he did. Okay, he's 26-2. We knew who the better quarterback at Alabama was. And like I told him, sometimes the quarterbacks get rattled. And like I said, and there's another key people I ain't looking at. When Jalen Hurts got a little rattled, they stayed with him. People ain't looked at that, Dr. Smith. I'm telling y'all now, it's stuff that happened at Alabama where you was like, go on, pull him. Go on, do it. Prime example, the Clemson game, the Clemson game the year before when we lost in the championship to Clemson, when they did the famous pick play on us, Dr. Smith, and scored the touchdown. Even though Jalen drove us down, we had 8-3 and outs. When he could, you know, when he struggled, they stayed with him. But like I said, at Oklahoma, you got to produce, man, point blank. Wimbush is going to come in starting. I don't think McKenzie will be ready after that ACL surgery. Was it ACL or a leg broke, Lauren? The quarterback for UCL.
It was a torn ACL. It looked like he broke his leg, but it was just
ACL. It looked like the knee dislocation. It was a dislocation, right?
Yeah.
So that one right there is gonna be tough because the way that thing would turn, it had to be something more than just an ACL, because that whole knee was somewhere else. But Wimber's got a good chance of winning that spot, man. Now, the quarterback McKenzie that was there, he gonna have the team on his back, but I think Wimbush comes in and takes that. But it's a lot of stuff these don't got to prove, man. Fields, he has to prove some at Ohio State, and I just don't think these guys have seen it yet. And we're running the most effective one. I'm gonna say that's gonna do the best is your boy on Washington, Dr. Smith, Ethan. Like you said, he's going to do the best out of all them transferring quarterbacks. The reason why is because he's been in the fire. He's been in the fire. Jalen Hurts has been in the fire, too, but he hasn't been in the fire where we're going to ride your back. Like, you're the most important one. I'm going to say that about Jalen, but that's my turn on them quarterbacks.
Okay. Let me kind of add one other thing to it. I want y'all to think about it. Now, every one of these quarterbacks, except Jason Eason, has something that caused them and to transfer or lose their position. Their problem was they were dual threat quarterbacks. Trend now is not going toward a dual threat quarterback. So each one of them you look and see, Jalen Hurts was dual threat quarterback, Kelly Bryant, dual threat, Justin Field, dual threat, Brandon Wimbush. And every one of them either lost their position or they never got a chance to get on the field. So that's something, that's a trend that concerns me, because I just believe you have to have a dual threat quarter. Got somebody can run. I don't think guys can stay in that pocket like everybody think they supposed to. So that's why you got RPOs and you got all that. The threat of having legs when you roll out on RPO that you run past option, that creates problem for defense. But just standing back there, Statue of Liberty, those days are over with. But that's what they're going back to. And the thing about it, those four people, Jason Easton, the only one who's a drop-back quarterback who will have a lot of success. Why he going to have a lot of success is because Washington was a drop-back team, except times when he was forced to have to run, that quarterback they had, who put some great numbers over 4 years. So that's going to be some successful. Now, another thing I'll say about, I'm going to say a benefit to Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma, first of all, he's a graduate student. This ain't the most important thing. It's important to him to get better. And the only reason he went to Oklahoma was to get with the best quarterback coach in the country. Nobody else. I think that's what Alabama lacked. They did not have Lincoln Riley. And I have to say that because he had developed those quarterbacks, and you're going to the place where you're going to develop. Now, Kelly Bryant, I don't know, he went to Missouri. I guess he just wanted to be in a place. Justin Fields saw opportunity, and Ryan Day is a good quarterback coach as well. So these players had to find somewhere they had to go that somebody going to help them to get even better, because each one of them had a chance to take it to another level, but there's nobody on that staff could take them to the next level. So they found somewhere. We'll kind of keep an eye on it. So we'll kind of see, like Jason Eason. You know, he's going to Washington. He could have stayed at Georgia. What's the difference between him and Jake Fromm? You know, and he's been in the fire. So the point is, they wanted to go with a younger virgin, couldn't get him out of there. So I'm talking about Fromm. So Eason got out of there. So I think the best thing these teams, these players are going to, is it's going to help them to be successful if they're going to go to the next level. And I don't think you got to be the greatest quarterback in the world to be at the next level the way some of these quarterbacks is out there. So we'll kind of keep an eye on this, try to see what's going on. But we're talking about the transfer rule. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Give us a call. Press 1, and we will identify the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then we're going to ask you to identify yourself and then join the conversation. So let's make sure we do that. All right, our next topic is sort of like we kind of did two of them in one, and that topic was about the biggest impact. Which one of them have the biggest impact? And I just want y'all, even though we talked about it, let's put it in a nutshell. If they get there and get the right coaching and get the right players around them, who would have the biggest impact in 2019 out of the transfer group? And I know, Terrain, you said Jason Eason.
Eason, baby.
Okay, got Eason.
Justin Fields,
you're going to take him out the picture because he's not guaranteed to get that, be able to transfer on that waiver. He's not guaranteed. The NCAA has not made a decision. He got a lawyer and hoping that lawyer will get the pressure on him so they will change. But we have to look at the other four and see who have the greatest upside, who will have their team, and let's add to it, who will have their team in the Final Four out of that group. Well, we're going to take Brandon Winbush because UCF, I don't care if they win 100 games. Apparently, they're not going to get there, so we kind of take them out. So Fields might not be there. So you're only left with the next three. And what do y'all think about the next three? Hurd, Eason, Kelly Bryant.
Go ahead, Lauren. I already hit you with mine, Lauren. Go ahead.
You're gonna have to go with Jalen Hurts in that opinion because you got Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant's at Missouri. They just got Drew Lock just graduated from Missouri. Drew Lock couldn't. He was at Missouri. Drew Lock. He couldn't. They weren't winning no games there with him, and he's supposed to be in the NFL scout. He's best one of the best quarterbacks coming into this draft 2019. So he couldn't do it. So discount him. It's gonna be Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has a explosive system that he has to get used to. And if he can't adapt to that system, that's gonna tell us a lot about Jalen Hurts. Which I'm banking on he will adapt to it. So Jalen Hurts. I'm gonna go with Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Terrain mentioned Jason Eason and I said a team that's going to get there, I'm going to go with Oklahoma as well because Oklahoma is stockpiling just like other schools are. And I think they got an easier route to go. And their route is going through a pass-happy team. All they got to do is develop a little defense, and they'll get back every year. I just got a lot of faith in Lincoln Riley. I just think he's a young, outstanding coach, and he can take that. And I think one of the things we may not be looking at, and I'm going to say this, is they're going to make some adjustment to fit Jalen Hurts on that offense. They didn't recruit him to come out there not to make the adjustment. He ain't going to have to adjust as much to them as much as they're going to adjust for him. And he got the right coach to do that, offensive mind. So I look for Oklahoma to be back in the Final Four, whereas those other schools I don't think will be back because they're losing – Oklahoma's losing the offensive line, but they still got quite a few other players that at a high level. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma as well. Not so much as Jalen Hurts, but Oklahoma I'm going to go with because I know they're going to adjust their offense to fit. And Washington, I just can't see because they can't get over the hump. They just can't get over the hump. I don't care. They made it 1 year, but they still not going to be able to, I think, work their way through where Oklahoma – than the last 2 years, and I think they'll be back again because I don't see anybody in the Big 12 stopping them. I just don't see it. Ohio State's not going to be going, so Michigan may slip through. Notre Dame won't be back. Some people think they will, but they won't. So we'll look at that's just my opinion in regards to that. But we're looking at some of the biggest impact in 2019 at those, out of those transfer quarterbacks, and we'll kind of keep our eye throughout the year for that and see how things happen. All right, let's kind of move to this eligibility thing in the high school level. And the question that we put on here, and you can be a part of this, call in now, 347-857-4192. The scheduled hearing for Davenport eligibility on February 1st is being asked to be delayed by the parents. My question is, why is there so much delay? You had a, it was scheduled for the 22nd of January. They asked for it to be, and the judge rescheduled to the 1st. Now the parents asking for it to be rescheduled even further. Let's kind of get in depth. Let's think about this. Let's still remember now how the ruling was. The ruling was just for the player to be able to play. If the ruling, as we said, won't be changed, then the player is going to be ineligible. So why are you, you want to just keep them on the floor, showcase, because I don't think they will give her the, I just don't believe they will. I'm sorry. They will not give her the best player in the state of Alabama. They're not going to give it to her. This thing really hurts her. Tell me your thoughts on the team. Call us. Tell us what you think about it. Listeners, call in. Let us know what's going on. 347-857-4192. Tell me what you think, Trey and Lauren, in regards to that, that reschedule, pushing back, you know, why are you delaying? What are y'all thoughts? And I just want your thoughts. I want you to really think about it and tell me why it should be that much delay instead of letting go to the court and make a decision and move on.
All right. I dive in, Dr. Smith. Mm-hmm. It's to delay because it's almost playoff time, Dr. Smith. Area tournament started this week. For them to delay that, that means they're trying to get through the season. you know, a lot of people try to, you know, try to feed with this. I'm gonna give you a situation. When you win something outright and try to say, you know, you just won it because you had an ineligible player on the team, a lot of people look at that differently. A lot of people look at it differently, but they're doing it to keep, like you said, to showcase the player and keep on the court. As far as them doing that, they're just trying to keep on the court to win a championship, Dr. Smith. Because, honestly, I would have just if I'm in the right, I'm going to get it behind me. But when I'm in the wrong, I'm trying to delay it. Delay it as long as I can. Almost like a bill, Dr. Smith. It's going to catch up with you sooner or later, baby. You can push it back all you want, but you can only push it so long, baby. But it's going to get them in the long run. And for And a strip doesn't hurt as bad as if you're going to play it. So if I strip it for you later, oh, she was in the eligible, she took the money. You know you would have won the ship if she was there and eligible. But when they take her before the playoffs and for the, you know, Final Four in Birmingham, it's going to hurt a little more. So for them to take it afterwards, it'll be fine. You still can wear your T-shirts and stuff. Even though you ain't supposed to, you'll still wear it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
All right. Okay. All right. Lauren, you want to share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with Trey. That's what I was going to say. They're trying to delay it as long as they can so possibly they can compete for a state championship because before she came back, I don't think there was much buzz around their team. So I think they're really trying to win a state championship, but at some point, you know, you got to – if you're wrong, you're wrong. And like I was telling Dr. Smith before, if I knew I was wrong and I knew I would just took my punishment and possibly try to graduate early and go ahead and go to school or just enjoy my senior year, cheer my teammates on, do all that. Because, honestly, she won one last year, didn't it? They won state championship last year, didn't it? Okay,
yeah,
some folks don't win one. Take one and go to the house. That's what I'm trying to say. Take one and go home. Some folks don't win one, right? So possibly you could put your teammates in a situation where long down the line, like Coach Ed was saying, they could get stripped of this. Granted, y'all always know y'all were champions because y'all played, but it go down in the books, it won't be like that. So I think personally she should go ahead and let the hearing happen on February 1st. Go ahead, let folks tell you what they need to say, and just take it and keep going.
Exactly. You know, that is a way to look at it, but I also look at it another way. You're not by yourself. And I know what people say, well, I was champion. No, you're not champion. You will never get a if this, because of the delay, is not going to stop the situation. She's an ineligible player. She's still ineligible. So whatever you win, and all these delays, all it's going to say is you're ineligible. Any money you make from it, you keep concession stand, but any money made off that got to go to the High School Athletic Association. You don't keep anything. You just can't do it. So I think it's a disadvantage to players if you don't allow them, because they could have won it without her. You never know, because they had to play before, you know, for a time without her. So, and they still was able to keep themselves in the area, because they end up listed as the host of the area. And I think they could have done it even without her. So the bottom line is it really worth these other players and these other parents to say we would have been champion if that's what I think would come out, if that they had to let that person play? I don't think they'll go and say, well, we champion, but they took it from us. No, you ain't never won it. And you're going to have to always deal with that, and you'll never go in the book as being champion, because I'm telling you, the reason I think the delay is, yeah, they want them to play, but they know that they're not going to win the case. Because the rule is in place and it's in black and white, and the court system can't change the rule. So the action for the delay, so they won't have to address it. And when they address it, they got the rule against, they'll get a couple more days on the court. But the bottom line is the kid's going to lose all that. You can't be area champion when you're playing with an ineligible player. So that's one of the things I think. That's a disadvantage. Now, we can talk till our face is blue, but the bottom line is the delays are not going to help very much, because in the end, you're still going to lose out. And I know they said, but you can't get in the fund, you can't take anything, you can't receive an award, you can't do anything, because your team is ineligible because of a player. So it's at their disadvantage. And I think Sumter County last year would have loved to have play for a state championship, because they had a team to play and win a state championship, but they couldn't play because they played too many games. And they had to end it right there. They didn't get in. So as much delay as you want, I think it hurts your team, hurts your other players. And you can say, we won. No, you didn't win it. Truth of the matter, you didn't win it because you was ineligible. Your players was ineligible. You can't say you're a winner. You just say, you know, you play with an L. Oh, you cheated. That's what they're going to say. The bottom line is, so my thing is just somehow go and address it, let it go to the courts on Friday, and whatever the ruling, live with that. You got to this point. You're hosting the tournament. Host it. You might still win it, or either win the first game, so you can do what? Go to the sub-region. So I think that's what I think would be more important. But that's just one of the opinions. Yours is important too as well. We want you to call in 347-857-4192. All right, let's kind of move over to some professional basketball. Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans has requested a trade. What impact will this trade have on the NBA? And I want us to jump in there quick, both feet on this situation. Tell me what you think. Tell me what will happen with this trade.
I'll dive in right quick, Dr. Smith. Big time impact, man. Either way, I think the Lakers trying to give up too much for them, though. I can't give y'all that. They trying to milk us dry, Dr. Smith. They milking us dry. So I'm going to say this. I would give them, you know, three solid players, but just asking for a four is too much. Asking for a fourth is too much, and two unrestricted future draft picks. that's too much for me. So that means you got six players for the price of one. Now, he makes an impact on the team because you still have money left over to get another big-time player. And as you saw, Dr. Smith, when you said something about that AD, the AD trade, Klay Thompson went to talk. If they get AD, I'm going. I mean, it's going to impact the league drastically, but I still need a few role players. I'm going to give up three, and that's it, Dr. Smith. I give you Lonzo Ball, Kuzma, and Zubac. I'm going to give you them, but for three for one, but I'm not giving you all them future draft picks because that's deals we can make with somebody else to get somebody else. So that still leaves us with Brandon Ingram, Lance Stevenson, Beasley. You still got a good core. You got enough to compete and win a championship with. But you're going all out, Dr. Smith. The guy get hurt, you back at square one, man. But, you know, like LeBron said, I'm not looking for a championship this year. But I'm going to say this, Dr. Smith. Any team that LeBron is on is going to have a chance to win a championship. I'm going to say that. Because LeBron in the playoff is a different beast. He's a different beast. But with that trade, I'm going to do three for one. And the key is I see a lot of little small pieces that's going to fall into place. Another trade that went cold is that Melo trade, Dr. Smith. That's going to be a good key right there, too. Not a trade. It'll be a Melo pickup. That could be a big pickup for the Lakers. It's a lot of key things. I think he still got a couple buckets in him. Just need to work on defense. But I think if he has a major leader with him, I think that'll help him out. He's never been in a situation with a person that he respects. I'm going to say that because, you know, he's been at Houston and he's been at Oklahoma City. He didn't respect them two guys. He didn't respect Russell Westbrook. He didn't respect James Harden. He thinks he's better than him. He thinks he ought to get those touches. With LeBron, he's more of a friend than a player. He's not those other guys' friends. So we'll see how it works, Dr. Smith. I'm not giving up on him, Joker, but it makes an impact on the league because people will come to play with him.
That's awesome, Trey. But we have on the line our other co-host. He just joined us, none other than Touchdown Tony Stallworth. How you doing, Coach Stallworth? Glad to have you with us.
I'm so sitting here listening, and I beg to differ with Trey in so many different things, but I hadn't seen him in a while, and I don't want to create no animosity. I just want to say I love you, Trey. And,
hey, come on, bring it. I need it. Come on with it. I need to hear the difference. You giving up everybody?
And I value your opinions wholeheartedly. And the millennial, my goddaughter, she's back with us. Hey, baby, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm fine.
We've been needing you. I think if you look at what you're saying so far as the NBA and that trade thing, is remember the NBA tried to put that max salary thing in place to restrict players to stay in place, but you got fundamental rights that don't always allow players to say I don't want to stay here. I think if you look at it, Trey, when you said those three players giving up, Trey, it's about one and a half player out of those three. So giving them up, you ain't getting nothing. If you keep them, you don't get nothing for them. if you get Davis over there, then you're going to get some veterans that don't mind coming. Hear what I'm saying now? Hear what I'm saying? I mean, who wouldn't mind? You made a very good point when you said about Klay. Yeah, Klay will be ready to pack up. If Davis is there. Now, let's talk about Melo. Melo has almost mellowed out. I wouldn't take him for nothing. I'd be just honest with you. He's done. He took the money from New York and it was over with. He can't not – you said the right thing. The only thing he can be with the Lakers is a friend to LeBron, somebody LeBron can talk to on the bench. That's it. Now, I'm glad you handled that other situation very good when it comes to the situation with the child athletes at Charles Henderson because, and the millennium you said it well, to delay and delay and also trade. the best thing that can happen, in my opinion, is with or without her, especially with her, if they go, is that they don't win the state championship. I hate to say it that way. Because if they don't win it, then the other children or student-athletes on that team don't get penalized at all for that. If they win it, it'll be a sad day, I'm telling you now, because Dr. Smith said it with a mouthful. All the court doing is respecting the rights of the individual. They'll prolong it forever. But at the end, somebody got to make a decision. Somebody going to make a decision. The end can come at the end of the tournament. So that's something that should be, as Melinda said, decided and move on. I just want to put my input on that as well. And I think the NBA is about to be very interesting because, I'll say it like this. The NBA got the way it is now because what was allowed way before Davis trying to make his move is a pathway. Remember now, New Orleans weren't able to keep Chris Paul. New Orleans was not able to keep DeMarcus Cousins. So, I mean, if you look around, that it's a semi-big marketplace to play in, somewhat. And those players just don't want to go where the big markets are. And it's kind of hard. And the NBA gets caught between the rock and the hard people. They want them, on the floor. So if they're not on the floor, ain't no revenue flowing. That's my opinion.
Awesome. Because, see, I'm going to tell you one thing that I want to add. I know Coach Smith want to add something to this in a minute. But let me just jump in, Coach Smith. I am personally believing that getting rid of four or five of them ain't going to hurt them. Because I've watched them play for these 17 games. And they is the worst thing I've seen play basketball in my days. And I don't see them getting any better. They can't help LeBron. And that's the problem. LeBron help is going to come from the one-year contracts he got sitting over there. And Anthony Davis, He do not fit with LeBron James because he has to have the ball to have rhythm. See, he has to have rhythm, dribble, dribble, dribble. And LeBron got to have the ball to do what? Dribble, dribble, dribble. So you got to get him out of that. Then you're going to have to get out Lonzo Ball because you still got to run them. You got to get him out of there because LeBron's going to dribble the ball anyway. So you got to have a point guard. Then you got to get rid of Kuzma. Unfortunately, he has kind of fell down a little bit on the thing. He moved up, but the rest of them, then if you're going to get rid of the big one, he developed fine. And you can take the coach with him if you want. I'm going to throw the coach in there, Tremaine. They can have the coach. I don't see them in the future for that one. They got to bring them somebody else in, and they're going to win with LeBron because LeBron don't respect that coach. LeBron do what he wants to do on that floor, and it's unfortunate. So why stay there? All of that going to be cleaned out. For the future, you know, I'd give you a forearm and a whole house if I have to, because you know what's going to be to happen? I'm going to start getting players like Clay Thompson want to come because I got room for another max player. You know, and I bring it in, then I'm going to start putting other folks around it. Kemba Walker might end over there in a little bit. You just got so many things, but we can't hold on to them pieces. They held on to them long enough. They made a mistake with Paul George. You should have got rid of more pieces then and got rid of some of them folks there. But, you know, my point is they got to go. I see the success of the Lakers and even getting back with the 30 or 40 more games going to have to do with getting rid of all that stuff they got there because them guys ain't doing anything. They could at least win 8-8. They ain't come close, eight. Them games was terrible, man. I stopped watching. Tell me what you think. Call in 347-857-4192. So we look forward to having an awesome time. We got about 7 or 8 more minutes. All right, Coach Smith, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. Okay. So I wouldn't give up a Lonzo Ball because Lonzo Ball is still on a rookie contract, but that doesn't free up any space. And plus, you don't have a backup point guard. So I'm keeping Lonzo. I'm giving up KCP because the contract is too big. Giving up Brandon Ingram for what I do not like Brandon Ingram. I think he's too long not to play defense. So Brandon Ingram, KCP can go. I would give up Kuzma, Zubac. And Lance Stevenson is going to have to go. I'm going to have to give up guys that have a lot of money in one-year deals, not guys that I could possibly need down the road. I think you'll need Lonzo. I know you'll need Kuzma. But, you know, besides that, I think he could go. But KCP has to go because he has the most money on a useless contract. He's useless. Man, I sat there watching man yesterday shoot the ball and hit nothing but air. Some years old, hit nothing but air. I never understood it. He hit nothing but air in the NBA. He got to go. And then you get Anthony Davis in there. You might get Kyrie before you get Clay. I think you'll get Kyrie. Now, if you get Kyrie, you're going to have to move Lonzo. Because you got to keep Rondo. So it's going to get tricky down up in there.
Okay, well, they have about, what, 4 or 5 days to do something. Because if they don't get it done by the deadline, they're going to be out of the picture. I think they're not going to be successful. And Boston gets in the picture then. And then they might not have to give a Kyrie. They need to give us some of the young pieces they have that are a little bit more experience. But, Coach, let's kind of move, and our time is kind of getting away from us. Coach Starwood, you want to share some things about basketball, high school basketball, and kind of tell you we got some things here that we might want to talk about in basketball. Coach Starwood. Did I lose you, Coach? I think I may have lost, Coach. I see him on the line.
No, I'm here.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear you. Something about just talk about this high school basketball that's coming up in the next week, the tournaments and so on.
Well, let's be mindful that this is the last week of regular season. The area tournament was concluded on Tuesday, unless somebody got into some weather factors. And that can be extended. The season can go on beyond the area tournament drawing up until February 1st, after February 1st, and no other games can be played unless it's the tournament. And, of course, you can't exceed your 30 games. The regional tournaments will still be in Hansville, Northeast. Northwest will still be up in Jacksonville. The new setting here, be mindful, listeners, that Montgomery will host two regionals this year. The South region that used to be down in Dothan will be moved to the Garrett Coliseum. So the capital city, which deserves that, will have the luxury of buying one. You have luxury of buying a ticket at one site and be able to exercise the rights to go to the other site too all day long. So there'll be plenty of basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the teams that I think that are out there that will be in, you got Hoover in girls, or number one in girls. Trey, you got Grissom up there at number 7 in 7A. Of course, Hazel Green is still number 1 in 6. Coleman looking good down in 6, too, as well. In 5A, Ramsey on 2, Charles Henderson with a question. Anyway, Winona is at number 6. And Dr. Smith, you said something I heard earlier about Sumter. Sumter's back. They at 21 and 2 at number 5. And, of course, they got their neighbor down at Greensboro. Is better with that as well. That's in girls. Now, in boys, you know, I like the fact that the Montgomery teams, like, for example, Carver, right at 8, Lanier right at 6 in 6A, Pinson Valley, of course, I mean, you both saw them, Dr. Smith, when they came down in Carver's tournament. Mountain Brook is still on top now in 7A boys, along with Hoover, Florence, Lee Montgomery, Central Phoenix City down at 10. Trey, we talked about this last time we was on the air. Lee Huntsville at number 1 now at 19 and 6. And, of course, you got Columbia up there sitting in there, 3 and 5. And, of course, like I mentioned, 4, Carver. I think on another team, Dr. Smith, I'm going to say this one for you here, to be mindful of, I've been kind of keeping eyes on, is Calhoun.
Calhoun. Oh, yeah.
As a great chance because of their participation in that Carver's tournament and it was able to face Sacred Heart and beat them, played Pinson Valley and also played Carver and came out of the tournament 2-1. They may be a sleeper in 2A. They can stay healthy and just get a break here and there. But anyway, basketball time is here. Hey, it's going to be real, real good in the city. I want to solicit to everybody that have been not having an opportunity to see all of your Montgomery teams because they were spaced out. They're all at home now. So guess what? It's hoops time. Do or die. There you got it.
Exactly. And just to add with that, Tony, Lee won the area, so they'll be hosting that area 3-7-8.
Right.
Jeff Davis won area 3 and 7-8. They'll be hosting. Then you got Brubaker. Both of the girls and boys are going to be hosting Area 4 to 5A. Lil Nip. And I posted in there. They'll be hosting the 6A area of what, Thor 5. They'll be hosting Carver, got to play Paul Crossing. And then that automatically, we know it vaults you into what? Give you a chance to get to the sub-region when you got the three teams in there. You the whole team. You also have Hillcrest. Don't forget about Hillcrest down there. They're rolling strong on the 4A area too. Andalusia girls are looking real good. Trinidad boys and girls looking good in 4A. Prattville Christian looking real good. They won both areas. Then you got Central Girls of Hainville. Central Hainville girls. And those my girls. So I'm proud to say that. I shouted out. They were my girls in middle school. And I knew they was capable of doing some good things. And then you got Georgetown. They was there last year. Pleasant Home. They was there last year. And you got Keith and then Linden in the Area 4 to 1A. So that's the standing. It's going to be outstanding. Anything else you want to add with the Coach Stars? Coach Smith.
Then you got Park Crossing girls are hosting 2-6A. And let me say this.
Yeah.
Our frat brother came out of retirement and went to Francis Mary. Being that of Woody Jackson, he's standing there right now at number 8 or 9. He's 15-3 down there. So, hey, some flames still left in the old Barbados kitchen there. Shout out to my brother, Woody Jackson.
Woody Jackson. All right, Woody, we're going to give you a shout out. Last time I saw you down in Dothan, you was down there working with your son.
That's right.
So we saw him down there last year in Dothan. So we look forward to having an outstanding tournament. We also have some rankings throughout other areas. But, you know, we're at the end of the hour. We want to close. We're a little bit beyond. But at this point, we want to close out. Coach Smith, you got anything you want to share with him? And Coach Stallworth, you can share with him. As, you know, we talk about basketball. It's time to play some basketball. Then I'll share the thoughts to close it out. Coach Smith.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm extremely proud of Park Crossing. The coaching staff over there turned the program around. The program was probably needed some resuscitation. They turned the program around. For a long time, they were undefeated. Their program is going to be good for the years to come. So make sure if you have opportunity, one watching girls basketball, check that out. They're hosting their area. Also, Lee Montgomery's boys are what are they? They might go with 2 or 3 games. That's simply amazing. They have an outstanding coaching staff as well. Y'all get out and come check out some games. Tomorrow, middle school championships will be at Lanier starting at 4 o'clock. Y'all come out and support these kids as they try to win a middle school title. 4 o'clock at Sydney Lanier. I'll be there. So it's a good time to be a basketball fan in Montgomery.
Awesome, Coach Smith. Awesome. Coach Worth.
Well, I said this. I enjoyed it. Sorry I got in a little late. I have my Bible studies on Wednesday night, and I'm committed to getting back here at least on half of the program. But for those that I have not seen or been in communication with, again, Happy New Year to all of you. Let's pray for our president. Let's shout it out for those that those federal employees that have been a little bit under shadow and being punished for no uncertain reason at all. I don't want to get too far in politics. Let's support our Afro-Americans that are running for mayoral candidates in the city of Montgomery. And I leave this with you as always. Do have a nice evening. You take the evening, and don't let the evening take you.
Awesome. I tell you, we had a wonderful show tonight. We talked about a lot of hot topics. And on Friday, we'll be talking again at 5 o'clock. And we'll share some topics. We'll share some of these topics, and we'll get a chance to talk about a little bit more high school and more SWAC, more MEAC, CIAA, SIAC. So it was an awesome night, and we want to close it out now. As I always say, we're at the end of the show. And when we get to the end of the show, and let me say the time, it's 5 o'clock on Friday for Balling with the Doc. And you can talk with the Doc, share some thoughts with him. But as we end the show, the hashtag is Keep On Grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding. And then last but not least, always tell everybody, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. So have an awesome night, and we look forward to talking with you again on Friday.
You may think that it's over. that your life is done.
The best
oh my.
Is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is yet to come.
Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a
the
winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
Yet
yeah.
To come. You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen nothing.
You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, well, my brother. What you know? Is on the way. I see you eagle. I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you. You gotta keep on fighting. Keep on praying. You ain't